Chapter 32. Approaching Cerberus Surface, 2566. This time the dislocation was briefer, even though the place in which he found himself was the most foreign he had known. On descent towards Cerberus Bridgehead, the suit informed him, voice pleasantly bland and drained of import, as if this were a perfectly natural destination. Graphics scrolled over the suit's faceplate window, but his eyes could not focus on them properly. So he told the suit to drop the imagery straight into his brain. Then it was much better. The fake contours of the surface, huge now, filling half the sky, were lined in lilac, their sinuous mock geology rendering the world more folded and brain-like than ever before. There was very little natural illumination here, save for the twin beacons of dim ruddiness of Hades and, much further away, Delta Pavonis itself. But the suit compensated by shifting near-infrared photons into the visible. Now something jutted over the horizon, blinkered in green by the overlay. "The bridgehead," Sylvester said, as much to hear a human voice as anything else. "I see it." It was tiny, he saw now. It looked like the tip of an insignificant splinter blemishing the stone of God's own statue. Cerberus was 2,000 kilometers across. The bridgehead, a mere 4 in length, and most of that was now buried beneath the crust. In a way, it was the device's very tininess in relation to the world which best testified to Ilya Volyova's skill. It might be small, but it was still a thorn in the side of Cerberus. That much was obvious even from here. The crust around the bridgehead looked inflamed, stressed to some point beyond its inbuilt tolerances. For several kilometers around the weapon, the crust had given up any pretense of looking realistic. Now it had reverted to what he assumed was its native state, a hexagonal grid which blurred into rock on its fringes. They would be over the moor, the cone's open end, in a few minutes. Sylvester could already feel gravity tugging at his viscera now, even though he was still immersed in the suit's liquid air. It was admittedly weak, a quarter of Earth normal. But a fall from his present height would still be adequately fatal, with or without the suit to protect him. Now, finally, something else shared his immediate volume of space. He called in enhancements, and saw a suit exactly like his own, twinkling brightly against the night. It was a little ahead of him, but following the same trajectory, heading for the circular entrance into the bridgehead. 2 morsels of drifting marine food, he thought, about to be sucked into the enormous waiting funnel of the bridgehead, digested into the heart of Cerberus. No going back now, he thought. The 3 women ran down a corridor carpeted in dead rats and the blackened, stiff shells of things that might possibly once have been rats, though they did not invite close scrutiny. The trio had 1 big gun between the 3 of them now, 1 gun capable of dispatching any servitor which the ship sent against them. The small pistols they also had might do the same job, but only if used with expertise and a certain degree of luck. Occasionally, the floor shifted under their feet unnervingly. "What is it?" asked Kuri, limping now, after the bruising she had taken when the clinic had exploded. "What does it mean?"
"It means Sunstealer is experimenting," Volyova said,
pausing between every 2 or 3 words to catch her breath. Her side, aflame with pain now, every injury which had been healed since Resurgam seemed on the point of unstitching.
"So far, he's moved against us with the less critical systems, the robots and the rats, for instance. But he knows that if he can understand the drive properly, if he can learn how to operate it within its safety margins, he can crush us just by ramping up the thrust for a few seconds."
She ran for a few more strides, wheezing.
"It's how I killed Nagorny. But the Sunstealer doesn't know the ship so well, even though he controls it. He's trying to adjust the drive very gradually, reaching an understanding of how it operates. When he has that..."
Pascal said,
"Is there anywhere we can go where we can be safe? Somewhere the rats and the machines can't reach?"
"Yes. But nowhere the acceleration can't reach in and crush us.
So we should get off the ship, is that what you're saying?"
She stopped, audited the corridor they were in, and decided it was not one of those in which the ship could hear their conversations.
Listen, she said, don't be under any illusions. If we leave here, I doubt very much that we'll ever find a way to return. But on the other hand, we also have an obligation to stop Sylvest if there's even a slim chance of doing so, even if we kill ourselves in the process. How could we reach then? Pascal said. Obviously stopping Sylvest still amounted, in her mind, to catching him and talking him out of going further. Volyova decided not to disabuse her of that notion, not just yet, but it wasn't quite what she had in mind. I think your husband took one of our suits, she said. According to my bracelet, all the shuttles are still present. Besides, he could never have piloted one of them. Not unless he had help from Sunstealer, Curie said. Listen, can we keep moving? I know we don't have any particular direction in mind, but I'd feel a hell of a lot happier than standing around. He'd have taken a suit, Pascal said. That would have been his style. But he wouldn't have done so alone. Is it possible he would have accepted Sunstealer's help? She shook her head. Forget it. He didn't even believe in Sunstealer. If he'd had an inkling that he was being led, pushed into something, no, he wouldn't have accepted it. Maybe he didn't have any choice, Curie said. But anyway, assuming he took a suit, is there any way we can catch him? Not before he reaches Cerberus. There was no need to think about that. She knew just how quickly 1,000,000 kilometers of space could be traversed if one could tolerate a constant 10 g's of acceleration. It's too risky to take suits ourselves, not the kind your husband used. We'll have to get there in one of the shuttles. It'll be a lot slower, but there's less chance Sunstealer will have infiltrated its control matrix. Why's that? Claustrophobia. The shuttles are about 3 centuries less advanced than the suits. And that's supposed to help us? Believe me, when you're dealing with infectious alien mind parasites, I always find primitive is best. Then calmly, almost as if it were a recognized form of verbal punctuation, she took aim with the needler and gutted a rat which had dared stray into the corridor. I remember this place, Pascal said. This is where you brought us when... Curie made the door open, the one marked with a barely legible spider. Get in, she said. Make yourself at home, and start praying that I remember how Ilya worked this thing. Where is she going to meet us? Outside, Curie said. I sincerely hope. By which time she was already closing the spider room's door, already looking at the brass and bronze controls, and hoping for some spark of recognition.